Justin, do we need to go through roll call, do we?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Lee Wells.
Here.
Vaughn Emery.
Here.
Bill Zimmerman.
I'm here.
Clarence Goff is absent today. Okay, Randy Laufer.
Yep.
Okay, no Justin O'Day. I'm Justin Colell, coordinator. We also have Chris Walker and Kevin Tyler and John Wilson and Don Kirkow. I think that's everybody here.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Ready to move on to the meeting minutes, the previous meeting. Mm-hmm. Hope maybe you guys have had a little bit of a chance to look it over, or do you need a moment?
I move we accept them.
Okay, as presented?
As presented.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded to accept them as presented. All those in favor say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Okay, thank you. All right. Number three, emergency listing of, wow. Orobanchi, Kumana. Is that anything close, Justin, to how it's pronounced?
Yeah. It's also known as Sunflower Broomery. I thought maybe you could fill us in. You're at the State Weed Board.
I missed the meeting.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a parasitic plant, and they did have a meeting proposed to put it at Class A status at the state. Parasitic plant attacks sunflowers as its primary host, and it's able to produce seed 1 or 2 weeks after it comes out of the ground.
Oh, wow.
So... it's kind of a nightmare scenario for people who are trying to grow sunflowers and discover that they have it. It seems like the only way to get rid of it would be to just totally remove the crop. And
so what does it look like? Do you have a picture or anything?
Yeah, it kind of looks like some of our other parasitic plants that are natives. Let's see if I have a picture of it. The state would, but yeah, I'll work on getting a picture of it.
Okay.
But yeah, that one will be potentially listed as Class A.
And it is a plant. It's not a parasite like some of the other, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, it's a plant that doesn't produce any of its own chlorophyll or any of its own photosynthesis. So it just attaches onto the sunflower.
Okay.
Has this just came in or has it been here?
Just came in. Yep, there's
the... Do they know where from?
It has been across other... Oh, actually, looks like they might have had a news release. Let's see.
It was in Yakima, right?
Just yeah.
Yeah.
Detected in Yakima.
This was the first sighting in all of North America.
There we go. Just a little bit of information here. But yeah, it's worldwide. There are a few different places that have infestations.
Any idea what they used to kill it?
So, yeah, there's... It in a field, you can see these flower structures right at the base coming out of the ground. Maybe the press release would be helpful.
Don't disturb it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So how does it travel?
Yeah, the seeds would be able to travel with the soil or stick into things.
But it doesn't blow.
No, they're very small seeds. You can see it in the picture of the seeds. I don't have the picture of the seeds. They're very, very small seeds.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see. Devastating root parasite to sunflower.
Oh, it's a root parasite. Okay, mm-hmm. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, significant crop losses. It actually has many plants that it can attack. besides sunflowers, so anything in the sunflower family. Asteraceae is actually a really big family of plants.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of different plants it could potentially have. And it also attacks tomatoes.
Oh, really?
In other parts of the world.
Well, yep. That's terrible for you to say that. Jeez. I mean, we do a lot of tomatoes. I mean, I guess if it does tomatoes, does it also do potatoes? No, other members of the nightshade family?
Possibly. Yeah, I haven't heard of that part of it.
Huh.
Let's see. Yeah, so thousands of microscopic seeds remains viable in soil for decades.
Mm-hmm.
So it's native to Eurasia.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, as the state decides to list that or you know not, but probably listing it, I'm sure we'll get more information about it coming down as well. But yeah, I just figured I'd bring that one up.
So what do we need to do, Justin? Is we can't
wait and see,
huh?
We'll just wait and see.
Okay. All right.
Yep. At the state level. They'll decide if that's going to be on our Class A list. And if it is on our Class A list, then we just adopt that as we adopt all the Class A's.
Sunflowers are not a big crop here, so it's not a big deal.
Not as much as in
tomatoes are, for those of us raising you know, direct market stuff, tomatoes are. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised potatoes, considering the state, if it does affect other members of the nightshade family, that would be one, you know. Yeah. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Go back up a little bit. Run down.
Yeah.
So. Prior to bloom, flower stalks somewhat resemble asparagus. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Before the flowers come out, yeah. So it comes up as a stalk.
Uh huh. Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Hmm. Okay.
So is it actually a plant that, as far as parasite portion of it, does it then bond to the root of the plant?
Yep. Yes, it does. As soon as it germinates, it moves and attaches to the roots. Yeah.
Hmm. Must be a bugger to get rid of that, like you said, killing everything out there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You probably have to rotate out of sunflowers for a number of years to get the seeds to.
I mean, it says decades.
Yeah.
That would be really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. So, number four, FIP updates.
Yeah, so the field inspection program had a good year. I just looked it up. We had showing 1,208 reports for tansy that we opened this year. And for poison hemlock, it was 373.
Wow.
So that's fewer for poison hemlock than we've had in the past, but more for tansy. And while I was thinking about it, I also pulled up this picture of North County. You can see there's Yale Lake, so we're in the extreme northeast corner. And wanted to draw our attention to this county line. Out here is Forest Road 54 going along Canyon Creek. We have discovered false brome, and that's all these little blue triangles. So last week we met with Weyerhaeuser and toured around this infestation, because this is Weyerhaeuser land and the Forest Service just has the easement. As soon as it goes into Skamania, then this is national forest. So that's a big concern, because false brome is a Class A and it's a grass. So very difficult for the average person to identify.
Do you have a picture of that?
Oh, false brome? Yeah, we can pull one up. No problem. The thing that you can find with false brome is that the edges, the margins of the leaves, have hairs coming off. So if you just pull a leaf and
you'll see.
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right here we are. Unfortunately, Blaine told me that this picture is actually wrong. This is not false chrome, so ignore this one. The state has the state has a nice. But here you are. Very hairy leaves. The plant that you'll probably mistake it for is Columbia brome, which I think this is actually a picture of Columbia brome that Blaine was saying. But you can tell the difference because Columbia brome actually has small stalks that come off first before you have each seed. This one just has each seed attached to the main stalk.
So what makes it so problematic?
Yeah, it is very shade tolerant, so it can replace everything in the understory before us. Yeah, drought tolerant and shade tolerant.
Gosh, that sounds great for some of us need, you know.
Well, there's a lot of history with that. It was hybridized to be good for what it does. So yeah.
Is that of any relation to a plant called smooth brome?
Probably.
Because I sprayed a field the other day off of 64th and 179th. That I was spraying for just basic broadleaf, and guy was all scared that his field was going to start dying because it, all of a sudden this started turning yellow. I figured out, you know, with my wonderful app what it is, and it's actually some considered a grass, or it's part of a grass family, but it's also considered a weed. But it didn't hurt any of the actual pasture grass. It just got that. So I don't know if it's something that we, you know, if it maybe is around in but a relative or something.
I mean, brome grass has been around a long time and stuff, and always has. But false brome, okay.
Yep.
Do you say 64th and 179th, northeast or northwest?
It's actually about three driveways south on 64th. And that would be on the southeast side of 64th, south of 179th, and the east side of 64th.
How does that bloom out?
Just have seed heads there?
Yeah, typical grass where you don't really see very much of the anther. And I don't know if they even have really a picture.
So it doesn't blow, it spreads?
What I'm getting out of seas to the freeway.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they can stick to things. Let's see if it says.
Is it hair like underneath or on top?
That's really bad.
Maybe it's 64th. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it does say, yeah, seeds may be carried in footwear, hiking gear.
That's in my mental cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wondered with the hairs and everything stick to stuff, yeah.
Right.
And the hairs are underneath or on top?
For the grass?
179th?
On all sides.
All sides?
Mm-hmm. On the leaf, huh?
Yep.
Well, and then I see the stem back there. Stem has quite a bit.
It's 61st south of 179th by about three driveways on each side of 61st.
So it's just got to be past my house.
There's a pasture right on the corner.
Just past my house.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There's a house with a bunch of things.
I had WSU up there the other day. They were walking the road, and I don't know what they were looking at.
Your place, there's a rare plant on the roadside.
A what?
There's a rare plant nearby your place.
Oh, there was 20 kids.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were bungee jumping. I went up there, and they said, oh, no, we're not jumping.
All right. So I wanted to also touch on a couple of other changes we've made. You guys may have already encountered our phone tree.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. That's been a big help to Chris so that she can return phone calls, but that we have far fewer times where her time is used up with somebody who's not at all our business and calls in and ties up the line for a long time talking about whatever they want. So... that has been really, really good. Big reduction on Chris's labor. And we've also taken to sending out a second warning letter. And that kind of replaces the violation letter in cases where we know we're not actually going to pursue a fine. We want to have more contact with them. We want to have another try, you know, send them something else that says, yeah, this is still here. A lot of times, the most helpful part of the letter will be the part where the inspector makes a note of where the plants are. And since they can change that on every version of the letter, if somebody has had only some incomplete control that happened after the warning letter, on the violation letter, or in this case on the second warning letter, they can actually make a note of that and say, north of the mowed area, that lets people know, yeah, we see what you're doing, but it's not enough, and so now you're getting a second warning letter. The big reason why we did a second warning letter was because each certified mail now costs about $10. About $10.
Mm.
Yeah. So if there's really not a legal reason why we have to have that proof that we've mailed it, because we're not really going to send them a fine, then we're saving hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. Now.
So with less physical steps for Chris to do, and less emphasis on something that we're not actually going to use. That was another slam dunk good change that we made that really helps us out.
How many second warning letters do you think you sent out this year?
That's hard to say.
And would those all been certified letters otherwise?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, they would've been
certified. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I'd say there was probably a good 30.
Oh, okay.
30 at least.
Okay.
Yeah. Lots for people will mow, so that was a second letter when they went back and it had regrown, so they can put in their notes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw you did the thing, but
yeah,
because you mowed, it came back.
And yeah.
Now it's flowering again, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So even after 30, you know, that's all. $300
yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Well, and just the time alone, because it, you know, has to go certified, and then the post office.
Well, and you got to take it to the post office too, don't you?
I don't. I just have to bring it up here, and then it's a bulk.
Okay.
But yeah, it has to go downtown, so the timing's really weird with it.
Uh-huh.
And then the post office is not exactly reliable.
Right.
Say that. Yeah. So, but we also, you know, it's a certified letter and a regular letter when we do send the letters, because during COVID they weren't getting any certified mail at all, because nobody would open the door, so
right,
we had to do that.
Okay.
And next, actually Randy was just showing me pictures of Warren Seeley. Was treated last Monday, and that did go through with the approval of the Blueberry Farm, and so they've been kept in the loop and coordinated. It looks a lot different in your pictures.
Yeah.
Than it was, you know, just I was there the Friday before that, and the water level's very low. They said it was very hard to get their boat in and out of, so they were going to send me pictures, and I have yet to see.
So
I just took those this morning.
Okay.
The treatment for variable leaf, is it a surface treatment? Is it a foliar treatment?
It's in water.
Oh, it's in water.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I've always.
So you inject it into water and
yes,
and then it goes. So okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Underwater booms. Gets kind of difficult if there's a lot of plant matter, because you can get very hung up on the other plant matter.
Mm-hmm.
How are they treating it when the water's gone?
You mean when it's all the way below the water level? On the bank, it would have to be a foliar treatment, yeah.
So they can treat it on the bank.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other ones that you've treated, do they lower water on those or not?
There's so many different. Most of the time, it's small ponds that are always the same water level about. Warren Seeley is really the one that has changed its water level the most.
Mm-hmm.
Leroy Anderson Reservoir has had some changes in its water level. Sugawa Brothers Reservoir a little bit, but you can tell from the little boat launching area there that it doesn't change that much.
Hmm.
Yeah, I would say Warren Zeeley is the biggest change in water levels of all of the different ones. Hmm. Let's see. What else was I going to say about variable leaf? Yeah, so there in the other sites, I'm going to do treatment this week. There are several sites where it is coming back, but the treatments last year have made it look really sick this year. So I'm not really exactly sure what I'm seeing yet. This is all still really new to me, so it remains to be seen if it's going to come back stronger next year or if it's going to come back, you know, weaker, because it's been, there's one site where it's been completely eradicated and then other sites where it's been mostly eradicated. There's one that was like the worst where it's only 60% gone, and the stuff that's remaining is, like I say, black and sickly looking. So I'm not sure exactly how to parse that, but the one common theme is wherever there's been lots of other plant matter, it kind of shields it, where the herbicide seems to go into the other plant matter a lot.
So the treatment isn't relying on the weather conditions?
Not so much, no. The herbicide can get deactivated from really intense sunlight, but other than that, the weather doesn't seem to matter too much.
So you put on in the rain and everything?
Yeah, underwater boom, and yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody was worried about drift until I told them it's underwater.
There's no drift at all.
It's just straight water to water.
So the sites, you mentioned the other sites, is everything contained for milfoil? Is it all contained to the Farger Lake and that drainage basin? Or is there other drainage basins that...
Yeah, technically there are three watersheds in general. The lowest site that it's been detected on was East Fork, and that one was farther south. I can maybe pull up a map of all the sites, but yeah, in general, it's all North County and pretty contained still as far
in that area. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the seeds actually come down with the water flow.
Yeah, yeah, that's how it spreads.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how does it get upstream? How does it get, you know, up to the, yeah?
Yeah.
Ducks pick it up, or?
Yeah, it's either that, or it seems like every site I've seen so far has had some small watercraft activity as well.
Oh, okay.
That was the open question. Is it small watercraft, or is it fish stocking? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
And driving around the state, I've ran into a few spots where you get the signs that pull in all boats and everything.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. 205 North is northbound. It has a sign. I believe it still has that sign up there.
This is over by Tri-Cities, up by Spokane. They're pulling them all over.
Highway as you come in to a skate on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'll work on pulling up a map, and then...
So what's the prime time? I know that you had to hold off due to the blueberries.
Yes.
What's the prime time to hit it?
Well, I thought it would have been in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, treatments were in June, and it seemed like, from what the manufacturer said, when it's actively growing is the best time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that seemed like it would have
been. You were... Last week or a couple of weeks ago that you sprayed? Or you
last week
applied?
Was Warren Seeley. Yeah, that was the contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was, again, working with the blueberry farm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, last year, when I wasn't, you know, able to get the blueberry farm to sign off on it, the other smaller sites, that was June.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this the first time on Warren Seeley's?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you treated other sites around him but his site was still active and
So he had been manually removing some and pulling it out, had kind of a setup where he could drag a chain or something through it, but
what do you do?
Really, that's not the best because it'll fragment
and then break it off. And
yeah.
You got to burn that then, or
well,
how do you get rid of the plant?
I don't think he was burning it.
It'd be pretty wet.
You need it to dry. Yeah, need it to dry out. It is able to survive for a time growing completely terrestrially. So that was a concern. He has all that rocky area though at the west end, and so I think he was piling it up there to get it to dry.
I didn't notice there
for a time
kegs out there. I don't know whether he pulled them out of the water for a while or whether I just didn't see them.
Oh, the bubblers?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were still there when I was on a couple Fridays ago.
Do you have to worry about like cleaning the bottom of the boat when you're out there on a boat?
Yes. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yeah, you don't want to be the problem.
Exactly.
So on a boat,
job security for
it, is it is it seeds on the boat or is it a stem or?
It would be the stems, the fragments. Absolutely.
So those places along the freeway, they're looking for something hanging on the boat.
Yeah.
The license plate on the trailer. Or been backed in the water.
Catch on the license plate and
Yeah.
Because the one spot up there was stopping all the hunters in the weekend, and during the week it was stopping all the boats.
The layers are broken now. That's too bad.
One thing that was interesting is I bought a boat and I brought it out of Alabama.
It's not showing up.
That type of boat.
All right.
First place I stopped to have to get the inspection done on it, she said, "Where'd you get the boat?" And I told them, and they said, they walked in, looked at it, and they said, "Just to let you know, if you ever want to make sure that you never have to worry about it, there's absolutely none of that striped mussel in the Gulf of America, because it's too warm a water."
Oh, too warm a water.
But out here, because it's colder water, they thrive in it. So that's why you see more and more of that around here.
All right. Well, the map's not working, but I can send you a map of all the sites for very.
Don't worry about it. No. Yeah.
And
how many sites do you have?
Last year I treated 5, and so was it? Nah, that's just everything. I was messing around, seeing if I could get something to show up.
Well, you got something to show up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just everything. That's not very helpful. I don't want to have everything.
It's helpful in that, you guys have been busy.
Yeah.
Huh?
Looked like bullfrog game.
Yeah.
Well.
John has nightmares about it.
Yeah.
About what?
All the dots on the map.
There's quite a few dots. But we don't have any appeals to our civil infractions.
Wow.
So, yeah. That was nice. Yeah.
I think this is probably the first year we've ever been that we didn't have an appeal on stuff. Okay.
Right. And yeah, one of them paid actually.
Wow.
From last year.
So it's nice.
And the ones we wrote out, we've written two out to people that take care of them.
B&B.
Oh, yeah. The ones that we wrote before, they're taking care of it now.
And you keep inspecting them?
Yes. Yes.
So you're talking previous years?
Previous,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, we've had a good follow-up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a follow-up process with those from before. Yeah. And that does bring us to the city of Camas, because that's been one of the ones that we've fined. We're going to be talking to them bright and early, very soon actually, so that we can have them commit to their plan for next year early on with contractor and hopefully not have a repeat of the debacle where the contractor wasn't communicating with them and they fired the contractor midstream and all that. So try to get that locked down. That has been the most problematic entity that we've fined, and then still haven't had much good follow-up process.
Yeah, probably by the time you go through all that, then the window's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Because the contractor was actually doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, on the first, yeah, on the first few sites, yeah, they were doing good.
They were doing a good job.
Yeah.
What is their plan?
Sorry.
What is their plan, City of Camas?
Yeah, they have a very, very big job to do. So it's understandable that they're going to have to start from somewhere.
But they're responding
but when,
now.
Yeah, yeah. Good. They do keep in touch with us, but. We want them to spray it bright and early so that we can go back through and make sure that everything...
What are they primarily having troubles with?
It seems like not only were they not able to get some of the really big sites that are right along the Greenway...
Of sites of what?
Of garlic mustard.
Oh, garlic mustard,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. They're mostly after garlic mustard is the biggest thing for them. They have... Just a handful of, you know, tansy ragwort and poison hemlock, other things, but mostly it's the garlic mustard, yeah. Hmm. So we'll see what actually shakes out, but whenever we're talking with them, the plan that we're emphasizing is spray in the spring, give us enough time to come back through and really make sure that you've got everything, because all of these times where they say to us, okay, well now we'll go out and pull, I have to just shake my head because no contractor that I know of is going to be able to pull all that. Some of them do a really, really strong effort to pull, but that's just too big a job. Most every year I've seen it, it's been too big a job.
And it's not possible to go and spray the second time.
Well, you can spray in the fall. Yeah, that's what I was going to get to, is the things that are... since it's a biennial, you can spray the stuff that's germinating in the fall. I would prefer that at least we get a really good survey effort from them where they go back through and they know what they need to hit, and their contractor gets very familiar with the sites and can understand what will be required.
Hmm. Yeah, and if I can interject, after the contractor left off, they told me that they would be sending out their own crews to try to do what they could. What I saw was I saw an indication that they were mowing along their trails, which was just spreading seeds everywhere. So we'll see. I mean, it's a big job. Unfortunately, they didn't work themselves, but hopefully they'll find new contracts.
Yeah. That's all I really wanted to say from the civil infractions. And if you guys have any other questions on field inspection stuff, I'd be happy to give more updates.
Are you going to do the follow-up for the next year letter again this coming year like you did this year?
Same process,
That, I tell you what, that is...
Oh, the propagated letter? That one?
I think you mean the reminder.
Oh, the reminder.
Because they'll get it and they think that, oh, I've got tansy, and you know, but the thing that's great about it is it gives an opportunity, like I said, to be able to talk with them and say, well, most likely it's not. We'll come take a look, but it's just to remind you to keep an eye out for it, because whatever didn't get killed totally last year, there's or the seed growth that you haven't noticed yet, and it just helps educate them more than anything.
Yep, same process as before. I didn't see any public comment. Did we have any public comment?
Nope.
Okay. All right. No public comment for me to read. Next up, we have any other public comment from anybody in person?
Confirm the dates?
Yes. So we generally do the first Monday from each of the months, February and what is it, May?
Yeah, so it'll be February 2nd, May 4th, August 3rd, and November 2nd. And I'll send you all a new meeting invite. So
mm-hmm. You'll have that. But if you know of any, you know, stuff already, right now,
mm-hmm.
then yeah, we could converse about that, see if there's a better way. But otherwise, yeah, we could just pencil those in and get them confirmed.
Okay.
You said, oh, well, we've got, yeah, right down there at the bottom, February 2nd, May 4th.
Oh, okay.
And then August 3rd, and what was the November?
November 2nd.
November 2nd, okay. Thank you.
What's the one in August?
August 3rd. And those will all be here in this same, mm-hmm. same conference room. Second.
Two?
Yep. Two. Yep.
Good. You guys have anything?
I have a question. I battle tansy, and I'm glad you guys haven't checked on me lately at all.
They will next year.
I could show them right where it is. But it's right down the middle of the tame blackberries and raspberries.
Yeah.
Is there anything we can use? I'll tell you what. As an experiment, I tried Stinger one time. And I'll tell you what, on that stuff, it kills, boy, it doesn't just kill where you sprayed. It moves out about 6 feet on each side and stuff. Is there anything we can use in between those rows? I have a shielded sprayer that I can go down through there with.
No.
But I don't know that I, you know, do I dare try 2,4-D or what on it?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. What is labeled for use in between rows? Probably the extension agent at a WSU would be able to speak to crops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would reach out to somebody from WSU, and if they don't have a good answer, then they'll probably know exactly who to talk to. Yeah, because I can tell you what we use for it, but as far as getting something that's labeled for crops, then mm-hmm. I think that would be
so. What do you guys use?
Because we use triclopyr.
Okay.
Products, yeah, that's okay. What we like. The amine formulation has a danger label, but element 3A or Garlon 3A, fantastic results.
Mm-hmm.
It only has a danger label because of the eye damage. Mm. So as long as you have competent applicators who wear good eye pro,
mm-hmm.
then you're all right. And triclopyr has a good safety profile. Other than that, as far as trees or things like that, you're fine.
Do you use any kind of a pre-emergent to kill the seeds before they germinate, or to keep them?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think the rub is crops. You know, when
but
you're in
the, crops. They're berries. Do you don't? I mean, would it hurt the berry plants?
That'd be the question. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like I said, with Stinger, it travels so much that, you know, we can't use it and stuff, but
I was just thinking of a pre-emergent from the standpoint if the plants are already you know, grown plants, if you're not planting seeds for them, then that only pre-emergent does kill seeds.
Yeah, and of course if I can, which we do quite often with blueberries, is get in there in the winter time and spray when there's no foliar, you know, stuff. I don't know. Yeah.
I do raspberries too.
Huh?
They do raspberries?
Yeah.
You see down the rows of raspberries where there's not a weed or anything else.
Well, I know. That's
grass patch down through the middle.
Yeah, well, we leave grass in the middle of ours. Yeah. Yeah. As a conservation measure. Yeah. Yeah. So, anyhow.
There's just more curiosity on my part because I don't do any plant or any food plant spraying.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Yeah. Anyhow, okay. Anything else from the guys on the board? Well, hurt stinger herbicide, huh?
Yeah, I was just going to look at it and see what it talks about.
Worst thing with stinger is it sticks around. It's a good thing, but then it's a bad thing, too.
What do you use it on?
We can use it on strawberries, ironically. It's a real light rate, but we can shoot over the top with strawberries.
Clopyr, okay.
What's that?
I was just looking at what's in Stinger. Now I see it. It's clopyrrolin.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But hay crops or wheat or anything that way you can use it. Any grass crops you can use. I believe it's labeled for corn. Hmm. I'm looking there. Oats and wheat.
Corn,
not unseeded, yeah. Field pop and sweet corn, yeah. Mm. And stuff, yeah. So.
Is it restricted?
What's that?
Is it restricted?
Oh, it's not just restricted, it's yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's saying it sticks around. Yeah, it's got a pretty significant residual effect.
So it's so residual. It's so residual that if you take the grass hay and you cut it and you feed it to the cattle, it'll pass through the cattle and into the manure and stuff. And even then, you compost it and it'll still stick around. So, yeah.
That's. Yeah.
For us, if we're going to use it, boy, we really got to think out how far out we're going to, what we're going to plant in the next few years.
So somebody with a hay crop are probably not supposed to be selling it to somebody else.
Well,
you can use it if you want to use it for your own animals. And keep it on your own property.
Right.
Anything for sale, it can't be done.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you sell your?
I think I got curtail that says that.
No, same thing.
Yeah.
Curtail, same thing.
Yeah.
And you cut your lawn clippings.
Do you sell your berries, or is it just mulch? Is it a crop?
Oh yeah, we sell berries. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Milestone does that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to have some way to make a living.
Pre-emergent. That's already pretty much pre-emergent right there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Very residual. Yeah.
They used to allow the landscapers to use it. And I bumped into a guy one time, and boy, he was kind of frustrated. He says, boy, that was great stuff. You could take buttercup out of the lawns and everything. Great. But then they had trouble with the grass clippings going through the composting process. And so they cut landscapers off. Yeah.
Yeah, ended up on tomatoes.
Yeah.
Problems.
Yeah. So, anyhow, it's just. Yeah, that's one that it's great, but it's not great. So, anyhow.
Yeah.
My son used it in his lawns and put the clippings out there. Couldn't grow a garden in it for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. Every time plant come up, it'd get about 2 inches high, wilt over and die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Keeps on giving.
Yikes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else for the good of the group? All right. Justin, do you have anything to... any additional information?
No. Yep. Nothing else to add. I would definitely reach out to the extension.
Yeah.
See if they have any ideas.
Either that or just hide it from you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. If Tansy doesn't go down from clopyrrolid, then wow.
Yeah. Oh, it does. Yeah. Yeah. The part that I was surprised about, it's strawberries are listed there.
Yeah.
And I'm going, wow, okay, but boy, what you get it on the other blackberries or raspberries, and they are very, it's death on them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And stuff, yeah. Okay.
Well, that makes sense, because I think Blaine actually had been using clopyrrolid a little bit to kill blackberry.
Oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
In natural areas where there's some trees that are desirable.
Have you ever tried Stinger on holly? And I realize that the challenge is getting it through the those waxy leaves. But yeah, I've got enough holly around. I may mix some up and just give it a try.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean. See if it's on their list, because they have actually a pretty good list of what it controls. Let's see. Control weeds.
So if you'd use Stingers on holly in a where you've got the trees planted, fir trees,
mm-hmm.
Go and kill the trees too?
I don't think so.
I
think it's listed for it's. I know it's listed for southern pine
forestry.
So yeah.
Yeah, it's labeled for use in Christmas tree plantations.
Is it?
Yeah.
Its big thing is thistle.
Yes.
That it's really designed for. Yeah.
Does that kill blackberries?
Huh? Oh, it'll kill blackberries, yeah. Yeah. If, I mean, but I have tame blackberries that we want to grow. And,
oh. Yeah. I had them spray mine a year, maybe a year and a half ago, and I got some of them really coming back now.
Hmm.
This next time, I'm going to have to set up on the road and watch my crew go through.
Oh, huh?
Hmm. I don't think they did a good job.
Boy, when we took over the farm there from folks, we had blackberries. We had fence rows that were 30 feet wide with blackberries. And anyhow, a friend told us how to use Roundup on it. And boy, we don't have we hardly have anything out there anymore. Huh. Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
Oh, you brought up the holly.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
So I was just going
to say.
J-J-J. No? Unless they want to call it English holly? No? Common holly? No?
Huh.
Let's see about, maybe it says perennial or trees or something.
I got 1 3-foot tree I've been watching. I probably sprayed it 5 or 6 times. But it now it's looking dead. I'll see if it comes back next.
Holly?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What did you spray it with?
Oh, probably some Garland 4.
Okay.
So that's what I would use. For holly, I would go for Garland 4.
Okay.
I used to throw some oust in with it.
Oh, wow.
So here's what AI says about that.
Cottonwood, sunny pine, sea.
I've got one holly tree between me and
I don't see it.
Who?
I don't see it on there. So I don't know about that.
Right there, right up front.
Doesn't I've look like it's.
It still isn't dead.
Huh.
Oh, but holly. I got some stinger.
To go after holly, somebody was using amino pyralid. Milestone?
Oh, okay. I've got my.
And he was talking about actually just spraying it and using the right
action. I love, yeah, the cut stump treatments, yeah. You try to get into that.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do. They don't like it. Yeah. That's why they have those 6-foot-long injection lance, so you can get back and poke at it. But you still have to clear it off of the ground.
Yeah.
If you don't clear it off of the ground, then you'll have a thicket where every little branch that touches the ground will come and make a new tree, so you already have to do some clearing for it.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah, stinger and clopyralid seems like its use case is like it's less active on trees. So I would venture to say, since I'm not seeing it listed as one of the weeds, no, I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't assume that it'd be good on the holly tree.
Yeah.
But
yeah
the Garland 4U or the amino pyralid products, that's probably what I would go with. And if you're already cutting it all down, then you can do whatever at that point.
You know, you can use Roundup there.
Apparently, amino pyralid works okay on it from a spray, but most of the time they were using imazapyr to go after it.
Okay, I just didn't want to have really to go and buy another. I have so much different variety of stuff anyhow that I didn't want to have to go buy another deal to add in that everything. Yeah.
Yeah, if you can.
Okay. All right. You noticed that? Yeah. And they complain about the price of beef. Yeah. Okay. Do we call the meeting adjourned?
Yeah.
All right.
So moved.
All right. Second?
Second.
Okay.